The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 279th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today's episode is going to be an episode that typically is a blog post that I share every year, having to do with what I've learned upon reflection whenever my birthday pops up. Now, this won't be specifically about me, but it'll be inspired by this last year, as I'm going to share 15 life lessons that I learned during my first year in my 40s. But before we get to those life lessons, this week's petit plaisir is going to be a twofer. I have two different items, one a television show, one a book, that I think at least one of them you will enjoy based on your predilections, but maybe, just maybe, as they are both things that I have been enjoying as of late. Be sure to stay tuned as I'll share both of those in detail at the end of today's episode. But let's get into today's topic, the 15 life lessons that I learned during my first year into my 40s. I celebrated my 41st birthday just over a week ago, so the end of February. And I usually write a post that shares upon reflection things that I learned just in that one particular year. And I didn't actually get around to it because my birthday fell on a Friday, and I just wanted to enjoy the weekend. And I told myself, then do that. And I wanted this post to be authentic and come forth naturally. And this week, I was ready to go through and examine and reassess and just kind of reflect on what those lessons are. And so we'll get into that right now. As I started writing this post, I was inspired by something I woke up to reading on Sunday morning, and it had to do with true contentedness. And that's what's going to start the commentary for today's episode. True contentedness, or contentment, is unremarkable to the outside world or a passerby. As I was typing away in my cozy chair in the living room, in my line of sight, Norman was eating his breakfast, and Oscar was acknowledging he was not going to be able to sneak a bite from Norman's breakfast and decided to take a long, cool drink of water. The croissant from my Sunday morning ritual was proofing in the oven, and Sunday Baroque's weekly program filled the home. Even having lost an hour of the day, I decided to wake up with the sunset and use the dawn-filled hour to work early on today's episode before we were able to go out for our morning walk in the woods. Now, all is well, and so much surrounds me for which to be grateful, but these are all to the outward or onlooker to my life, seemingly every day. Nothing grand, wonderful, or in particularly special, but they are to me, and they are what makes me feel so grateful for the life I have the opportunity to live. And each of us can cultivate this. And so it was as I was doing this that I was reminded to appreciate it even further, because as I mentioned just a second ago, I began reading Maria Shriver's weekly email newsletter when I woke up Sunday morning. She has a newsletter that has a letter from the editor, her, that arrives in your inbox every Sunday morning. And in particular, this particular Sunday morning's letter resonated with me because, well, most likely it will resonate with you if you're a Simply Luxurious reader or a Simple Sophisticate listener. I've included and I'm going to read a portion of that letter on today's episode, but it is far longer and much more in depth than what I'm about to share. But what she's focusing on is a moment in which she felt, albeit unexpectedly, truly and sincerely content. Here is an excerpt from Maria Shriver's letter from her weekly Sunday newspaper newsletter. Quote, "Over the last few years, I've settled into myself. I've focused more on my blessings and what I'm doing well rather than my shortcomings and what needs to be adjusted, something I highly recommend. As a result, everything in my mind has calmed down and therefore my body has calmed down too. Today, my life finally feels centered, grounded, solid. I feel like I've found my space and my place. It was one of those profoundly simple yet head-shaking moments of self-realization that no one ever really talks about. Sure, there are still things in life that give me anxiety, the coronavirus, the election, and Mother Nature, as our neighbors in Nashville know all too well. But through it all, I've been able to find my inner fortitude and soothe myself, something I've struggled with my entire life. The truth is, I never expected that the peace, joy, or success that I chased my whole life would come to me when I was sitting alone, drinking coffee, on my porch. I thought I was supposed to find that while giving speeches, accepting awards, and galvanizing change. That's what our culture teaches us. It's what's infused into our beings at a very young age. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that on this International Women's Day, I'm a woman on my own path. I'm living my own wild, precious, joyful, and meaningful life. In the end, my friends, that's what galvanizes true change, watching, witnessing, and being in community with people who are following their authentic paths and what changes the world one breath at a time. I thought of that every time I washed my hands this week, and it made me smile. So follow your heart personally, professionally, and politically, because when you do, you will discover the feeling I felt the other morning. You will find yourself saying to no one in particular, quote, wow, I'm good just the way I am. End quote. For this entire letter, this was just the excerpt that I pulled. There's so much more to it, but Maria Shriver just shared her thoughts on realizing she feels truly content in a simply ordinary moment with no one else around. And I thought that was just so powerful, and I appreciated her sharing that. I've provided a link to her weekly newsletter on the show notes if you're interested. You can simply look up mariashriver.com and subscribe as well. So what I realized from this excerpt, while it was long, and I realize, and I appreciate you listening for the entire time, but hopefully as it did for me, it reassured as to what living well truly is. It's simple and intentional. It's internal and individual. It's purpose-driven and intangible. It is also experiential and tactile. It requires of us to be present, to be engaged with our world, acknowledging much needs us to let go, but so too must we stay involved and be aware. It is the daily practice of elevating our daily life by how we walk and open our eyes and minds to all that is around us and that is possible. As I mentioned at the very beginning of today's episode, each year when my birthday rolls around, I share reflection of some sort on the blog about my life lessons, the aha moments, and discoveries about the world found along my journey. To share as well, admittedly, as a way to preserve my own growth so I don't forget. And it's my hope that this post or this episode will prompt introspection amongst you as well, because sometimes, maybe even often, we don't realize all the ways in which we have grown just in the course of a year. And it's sometimes it's really hard to see that growth because we're the ones walking through the world each day. We don't see those incremental changes adding up to some pretty amazing changes and discoveries. So today, I'd like to share with you my life lessons that I learned in celebration of my 41st birthday, which, well, fell last week. Here we go. Number one, dreams, hopes, wishes can indeed materialize so long as we never let them go. We keep making small yet steady progress and keep refusing to not believe it can happen. I so adamantly believe in this, more so this year than ever. The big dream of finally owning a home in Bend, but the small dreams of finding even more contentment than I have ever felt in my life. And yes, it definitely comes with achieving a dream of home ownership again, but it also comes with having some closure, which I'll talk about in a later lesson that I realized, of being able to fully move forward and realizing my decisions, while I questioned them for some time, really were the best ones for me. And they all began with dreams and hopes and wishes. So keep following and believing in them, because they may not come in the time you expect, and they may not come in the way you expect, but they can come if you never give up. That's number one. Number two, clear, respectful, honest communication is to be treasured and a necessary ingredient for healthy relationships of all types. Knowing how to communicate effectively but yet respectfully is a skill, and it takes practice, and it takes a teacher, whether that teacher comes from a book, a parent, a friend, a partner, but it does take intention on our part to change, to improve, to grow, and then to practice and to realize we won't be perfect at it the first time, but our intention can be there and we can learn from our mistakes. And that's when we discover the relationships we want to be in with who we want to be in relationships with. That's happened to me recently, but it's also happened throughout the year, more positive than negative. And what I've discovered is it's an interesting journey, because as you become more confident in knowing that you can be more vulnerable and communicate clearly, but calmly and respectfully, you easily identify those that are also confident and comfortable doing that. And those that aren't stick out more so like a sore thumb. And you realize immediately in those moments, whoa, I wouldn't have seen it that easily earlier in my life, when I didn't understand how to communicate clearly. And so it's a helpful guide as to who you want to be involved with, how deeply you want to be involved with certain people, and what type of relationship you likely will have, or at least some clarity about where someone is along their journey and their willingness to grow. So that's number two. Number three, setting personal boundaries is a reflection of your recognition of your innate self-worth, which will cause your self-esteem to grow. Now, a handful of years ago, many years ago, I wrote a post about how we all have self-worth, whether we realize it or not. We all are born with self-worth. And I go into detail about that, but I also share in that post how to cultivate it and make sure we're truly aware of it and exercise it and strengthen it. Self-esteem is not something we're born with necessarily, but it comes from understanding our self-worth. And I thought about this the other day, and someone I think made a comment, if I'm not mistaken, that really brought it to my attention. But when you are able to not secondarily place a boundary, but in other words, preventatively or initiate putting a boundary up, that speaks to your recognition that you matter. Your time matters, your feelings matter, your energy matters, your place in this world matters. Now, we may move our boundaries, we can shift our boundaries once we understand what we truly need and what we truly don't need. But when you proactively, respectfully put your boundaries up in a clear and calm but honest fashion, not wavering, but not being rude about it, that is a reflection of your growth. And relationships improve, outcomes improve, so many different things can improve. But it's a journey to get there. It does take time. And I've also written about boundaries on the blog in a previous podcast. I'll provide links in the show notes to that, and how to do it, and how having healthy boundaries is crucial to creating the life that you sincerely want. So that's number three. Four, giving yourself closure on the past is healthy and necessary for being able to fully move forward. Your closure need not make sense to anyone else but you. But you need to give yourself this gift so that you can truly be free. Maybe it's from a relationship. Maybe it's from just anything in your past that is lingering in any way. For me, it wasn't a person. It was a house. And I know that sounds crazy. How can an inanimate object that you, how can you need closure from an inanimate object? But I did. And I finally went back and saw my previous house, which a house that I loved, that had great memories and, a period of 9 years of my life. And that's where the blog was born. That's where so much of my life really shifted. I went back and saw it for the first time last month. It's been nearly 5 years since I've seen it. I've been back to that town a few times since then, but I consciously could not drive by that house. I loved it so much. And I was so weary, number one, about how the person had treated it. And I was thankfully pleased that they've been taking great care of it, but in their own way. And at the same time, I also had other doubts and worries about my own current journey. And what I realized was that we need to get closure in our own time. We are the only ones who know when we're ready for closure, whether we know it consciously or not. I did. I knew there was a certain reason why I wouldn't go back, and I knew something would have to happen for me to go back and see the house. But when I did go back and see that house, I saw that the house was no longer truly mine. And not that I owned it anymore, but someone else had put their stamp on it. And I was set free. I didn't have to talk to anybody about it. I didn't have to talk to the or see the person who owned it. I just, in that moment, let go. And it just, a whoosh of energy in some ways, but also a gradual spigot was open too. And I think if there's anything that you're still thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have made that decision, or oh, maybe I shouldn't have walked away, or maybe I shouldn't have let that person go, or if I would only done this or that or the other. Number one, we can't change the past. And I know we all know that, but we do ask those questions. We ponder those thoughts. And what we will realize in giving ourselves closure is the freedom to really embrace where we're going now and where we are now. That is an awesome gift, a priceless gift that we can give ourselves. So that's number four. Giving yourself closure on the past is healthy and necessary. Number five, some friends, family, and or colleagues may not be able to travel with you into your next life chapter as you choose to grow and evolve, or your life simply asks of you to travel a different way or in a different way. Letting go need not be dramatic or radical or even really consciously known to the other person, but rather a natural going about life's path, perhaps to meet again at some other time or maybe not. And that is okay and healthy, as it shows awareness of the social support that you need to be well. And so it involves self-awareness on your part, acknowledging that you're growing, honoring the relationship for what it was and what it provided for each individual and how you grew, respectfully honoring individual paths. That's number five. Number six, give yourself permission to be excited about your life journey, your everyday moments, and just let yourself be giddy. And I do mean that physically. Jump around, dance, scream, dance, laugh, sing, whatever it is you need to do to let your endorphins soar naturally and see your daily life experience improve as well. Let yourself celebrate your journey. Who cares how old you are? Being young at heart is great medicine. It's a wonderful practice to regularly infuse your life. Ah, so many happy dances this year. My boys think I am fantastically Shannon. They don't say I'm weird, although they don't speak, and I know you know that, but it's me, as my mom said. Oh, they're used to you making noise. That's you. Let yourself get excited about your life journey. Do not edit yourself. Number seven, say yes to opportunities that cross your path, but out of schedule with when you had hoped they might arrive. My trip to Paris and Normandy this past summer was not expected, nor was it planned. In fact, I told myself I would take at least a year off before returning to Paris since my trip in 2018. However, when an invitation unexpectedly arrived, asking me to return in 2019, I had to say yes. And all that I learned, experienced, savored, and learned some more was more than evidence that I made the right decision. So that's just one example of saying yes to an awesome opportunity, but there's so many other small or even more grand things to say yes to. You know if it's something that you've always dreamt about and have dreamed about, and you know. Pinch yourself moments. Do your homework. Make sure it's all credible. In this case, it was an invitation from my dear supportive author cookbook friend, Susan Herman Loomis, and I had to say yes, and I'm so thankful I did. Number 8, less truly can bring more into your life. The unexpected discovery of my now home and sanctuary, which is half of the size of the home I owned previously, is precisely what I instinctively knew I needed to live well. Less to decorate, but what I choose can be investments that will last. Less to clean, so I have more time to explore and create and tinker about on the weekends. A perfectly medium-sized yard and petite garden, but exactly what I enjoy to have Mother Nature at my fingertips and my fingertips in the dirt without a requirement of more time than I can give. Quality over quantity keeps appearing throughout all the decisions that have proven themselves to be decisions I'm thankful I had the opportunity to make. And was either consciously or unconsciously savvy enough to make. Now, some I've stumbled into, I'll be honest. And I've also stumbled into decisions that I've learned, wow, that was not the right decision. But this was one that when I made it consciously, I knew this was the right decision. And I'm so thankful that bigger is better didn't win out. As I learned from my previous home, it's just a lot more work, a lot more expense, and a lot less time. And I so enjoy having more time and more money, or at least more money to spend in a way or invest in a way that is a choice, not a have to. Number 9, Mother Nature. Moving my feet in Mother Nature is my creative muse, and her gifts are priceless. While I walk nearly every day outside on the trails here in Bend or near a river that runs through Bend, even when I went walking in San Francisco this past June to get outside, I did so and saw the famed parrots of the Telescope Hill. And oh, what a delight they were. Inspiration is everywhere when we step out into fresh air. And the beauty of Mother Nature is it asks you, it attracts you, draws you into being present. Yes, you can definitely go outside and daydream and close your eyes and step into the past, the present. But if you're awake and your eyes are opened, you're present. And that is a wonderful place to be, to let ideas present themselves to you. So that is one thing that I am so thankful for. And every year I become more appreciative of this. Number 10, my dogs have been for the past 15 years and are my companions in this journey of my life. As they let me be Shannon. They provide company as well as freedom, yet keep me grounded as well. And so I am savoring every moment with my two elder gentlemen, Oscar and Norman. I think of nothing else, and there's so many life lessons that they've taught me, but they've really taught me to savor little things, everyday things, simply be able to come home every day and see a happy, smiley face, appreciate those small things. They've taught me so much, and I'm so grateful for them. Number 11, cooking, creating in the kitchen is to play and forever be learning and savoring everyday moments. Oh, I so appreciated that, and I appreciate even more now as I'm moving into tailoring my kitchen to hopefully what I, you know, will use with ease as I learn my style of cooking even more so in my rental. And you start to appreciate what a kitchen gives you when you have a space that works for you. And that's, I'm kind of in transition right now with that. And so I'm really appreciating it and looking forward to being able to use my copper teapot soon, hopefully. Soon being relative, but it'll come. The time will come. Number 12, love really does live on inside of you even after someone dear to you passes away. And I'm just going to leave that one at that. 13, host that dinner party you've been wanting to have. You may just bring beautiful moments and new connections to your guests' lives that they will appreciate more than you will ever know. It will be, yes, a lot of work up front, and you will wonder if you can pull it all together, but rest assured you can. And your guests will be thankful that you took the time to do it. And that is what I enjoy more and more about pulling together dinner parties, no matter how large or small, whether it's for a full dinner or just for aperitifs. If it's something you enjoy doing, but you're anxious about doing it because you're not sure if it's going to go well, do it. You will be glad you did. I've written a handful of posts about this, but most recently in an episode a year and a half ago, I wrote 10 ideas gleaned and confirmed from my last dinner party. And then if you have my first book, or if you are interested in even more details, as well as menus for a variety of different hosting events for a successful gathering, check out my first book. I have an entire chapter dedicated to doing just that. That's number 13. 14, traveling with my mom this year created memories of getting to know each other as where we are now in our lives and created wonderful shared experiences that I will never forget. We went to San Francisco together. As many of you may know, I did an entire episode on that. I'll provide a link to that on the show notes. It was episode 256. We were there for 72 hours and we made the most of it. We also had the opportunity to go to Oregon's Garden, which is something that my mom has always wanted to go to. We went there for Mother's Day last year, and an experience that completely exceeded my expectations, and it opened my eyes even further to my mom's love and knowledge of her green thumb life. And she does have a green thumb. I learned so much from her. So that's number 14. Last but not least, continue to follow your heart, its inklings, its tugs, its curiosities, and you will never be led astray. Even when it doesn't make sense to you, even when you do not have a model to forge the path before you traverse it, your insurance is that it is your heart leading the way. I am reminded of Julia Child's quote, which she expressed on the penultimate page as well as the final page of her memoir, My Life in France. And here's the full quote, which I think having the entire context is helpful. Quote, in Paris in the 1950s, I had the supreme good fortune to study with a remarkably able group of chefs. From them, I learned why good French food is an art and why it makes such sublime eating. Nothing is too much trouble if it turns out the way it should. Good results require that one take time and care. If one doesn't use the freshest ingredients or read the whole recipe before starting, and if one rushes through the cooking, the result will be an inferior taste and texture. But a careful approach will result in a magnificent burst of flavor, a thoroughly satisfying meal, perhaps even a life-changing experience. End quote. While Julia is directly speaking of her experience in the culinary world of Paris, she indirectly and perhaps most significantly speaks to how to live life well. Invest, have patience, do your homework, and trust the co-mingling of those who know more than you about the topics that you love, as well as your own passions and curiosities. Beautiful art, the art of life, your life, can materialize in its own time and in its own unique way, surprising you in so many wonderful ways. May this birthday year, wherever it falls, wherever today falls in your birthday year, because we're all in a birthday year, whatever it is, may this particular birthday year for you offer insightful and inspiring life lessons that elevate the quality of your everyday life even more and bring you all the more contentment, the true contentment that you desire. If you'd like to check out today's show notes and the quotes or links that I've talked about, visit thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast279. And I'll be right back with this week's Petit Plaisir. This week's Petit Plaisir is a twofer, as I mentioned at the top of the episode. And the first one I want to talk about, since I just wrapped up prior to the break before this Petit Plaisir talking about Julia Child, I wanted to talk about the Petit Plaisir that is all about Julia Child. It is a new television show. It's 6 episodes long, and it's called Dishing with Julia Child. And I mentioned it a couple weeks ago on the This and That weekly post on the blog, and I've been sharing a few pics and videos of watching over the past couple weekends. And I can't recommend it more highly. It is a wonderful program, whether you love cooking, whether you love French food or not. Just if you love Julia Child, you're going to love this, number one. If you do love cooking, you're going to learn a lot of different things, because what they're going to bring in are a lot of different now current chefs, such as Rick Bayless and Jose Andres and Martha Stewart and Carla Hall, Vivian Howard, Sarah Moulton, and Jacques Pepin. So many different highly respected chefs in our world today either had the opportunity to work with very closely Jacques Pepin, or cooked with her at least once in her own kitchen. And Sarah Moulton helped her prep in 1979 for some of her shows. They're going to speak about those experiences, as well as talk about classic episodes from her cooking show, The French Chef. Now, these are all downloadable if you have the PBS Living subscription, which is just $3 a month. Those are all available via Amazon Prime, and then you pay additional $3 a month for PBS Living. You can also watch all of her The French Chef episodes on PBS Living too, by the way, and there's so many of them. They're just fantastic. But you can also simply become a member of PBS, and then you have access to your PBS passport and all the different PBS programming out there. Anyway, I have thoroughly been enjoying it. I've watched the first four episodes so far. The most recent was her French onion soup recipe, and then Bœuf Bourguignon, which was her very first episode ever. And as many of you already probably know, she taped these without stopping. They didn't have the opportunity to edit or cut. And just to think about that, for these 30-minute segments, to go all the way through a recipe and many recipes sometimes at the same time while teaching you all of these awesome, helpful culinary tips and tricks from her own French culinary training. Viewers really were treated very, very well. And she really was the cooking show. She really was the catalyst or the first trailblazer of cooking shows as we know it. So here's a short trailer of Dishing with Julia Child. What they do is they show clips, if not almost the entire episode, but not the entire episode, but nearly the whole episode. And then the chef, sometimes just two, sometimes four or five, will be just simply watching it on a video screen and commenting about different things that catch their eye. So here is the trailer to Dishing with Julia
Join
Child.
A banquet of celebrity chefs as they savor vintage French Chef episodes and dish it up with Julia Child.
You never know what Julia is going to say.
She's truly authentic.
Her accent is so mesmerizing.
Oh, you forgot to cook the tuna.
This is Julia Child. Bon appétit.
Dishing with Julia Child. Stream all episodes now with PBS Passport.
So that's Dishing with Julia Child, available on PBS Passport or PBS Living through Amazon Prime. Enjoy and be inspired to get into your kitchen. I know I was even more. So the second petit plaisir is a gift I received for my birthday from my mother. She knows me very, very well. And as I mentioned, she has a green thumb. And it's Floret Farms' second book, the most recent book that was released on February 11th, called A Year in Flowers, Designing Gorgeous Arrangements for Every Season. If you love bringing flowers into your home, whether you have flowers in your yard or not, whether you have access to flowers, year-round or not, this is a book that is such a helpful teaching guide on how to make arrangements, just the basics of all the tools you need, which flowers can go with what flowers, what type of vases you need. Did you know that you shouldn't put a freshly arranged flower bouquet next to fresh fruit? Did not know that. That was me learning something, because fruit emit ethylene gas that can shorten vase life. Now I know, and so do you. But you probably already knew that. But there's little tips like that with beautiful photography. If you know anything about Florets Flowers, which is she's located up in Washington State, she will just take you through the seasons and the flowers that are available, so that you can really, just as you want to eat seasonally, you can welcome Mother Nature into your house seasonally as well. And the photography will offer a lot of inspiration. If you're wanting to make handheld bouquets or corsages, she'll show you how to do that. But predominantly, it is all the different ways to arrange, how to be thoughtful in what you put together. So for example, a narcissus or daffodils, for the most part, you can't put them with any other flower unless you properly treat the stem so that the sap doesn't keep lurching out into the water, which will kill other flowers. And she shows you how to do that in this book. But this is a resource. This, if you, again, love flowers, it's a beautiful book to have on your coffee table, but it's definitely one to use. And I started reading through it this last weekend, and I'm so excited that I have it. But that is A Year in Flowers by Floret Farm, Designing Gorgeous Arrangements for Every Season. And I'll provide a link to it on the show notes. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisirs, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each episode where I'll recommend a book, a film, a show, a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Now, before I wrap up, the one thing every single year that I'm reminded of, speaking of life lessons, is how fortunate and how grateful I am for you, the Simple Sophisticate listeners, the Simply Luxurious Life readers, the engagement you bring to the blog and the podcast, your willingness to share your journey and to get excited about the everyday things with me. I'm just so grateful for you and your time and your interest and your engagement, as I mentioned. And with that said, I wanted to wrap up today's episode just letting you know what your time and your reviews have done for this blog. So just this weekend, I often share these on my Instagram stories, but I don't talk about it often on the show, and I should, so I'm going to. There are, as you know, podcast charts everywhere for every single country. And I finally had access or discovered where I have access to all the rankings besides the United States. So just to give you an idea of the listenership of this show. So just this week, in Canada, the show is number 20 for self-improvement. In Sweden, the show is number 13. In these are also for self-improvement. In Norway, we are number 18. In Finland, this is our all-time. So they have weekly shows and their ranking, but they also have all-time. So based on how long you've been a show and all the downloads and all the positive reviews. So in Finland, for an all-time self-improvement show, we are number 23. Thank you, Finland. And in Britain, for all-time, we're number 42. In the United States, we're also number 42 for all-time. Now, I cannot forget our Down Under listeners and our Southern Hemisphere listeners. In Australia, all time, we are number 51. And in New Zealand, we are number 38 for all time self-improvement podcasts. Thank you so much to every single listener, wherever you call home. Thank you for your time, your interest, your positive reviews, your positive rankings. All of that comes together and lets future listeners know what they're going to discover when they tune in. With that said, I want to share three reviews from around the world, one from the United States and two from outside of the United States, because I continue to be reminded of our international community here. Most recently, Molly Elizabeth shared, my absolute favorite. I love all of Shannon's content, from her blog to her books to her Instagram and, of course, her podcast. I highly recommend you check out all of her content. She satisfies my cravings for intelligent, informative, and entertaining lifestyle and self-improvement content. Look no further for style and travel inspiration, recipes and delicious food, and personal growth topics. I am starting again from episode one and working my way back through. Molly Elizabeth, thank you so much for this detailed and very generously kind review. I so appreciate your time sharing your thoughts. Now, over the years, as I mentioned, I was not aware of how to access the reviews from when we began back in 2014. And so this next review comes from France, and it was shared in 2015. So just as we were getting into, it's about 6 months into the show. And this one was titled Practical Inspiration from Mate 51, a wonderful listen for day-to-day inspiration for living a lush life. Shannon's direct style is quite enjoyable, and her practical advice is always right on target. A very refreshing break to my day when I listen. And this next one is from Tanzania in 2017, from Daisy of Africa, titled A Necessity in My Life. I love my daily commute to work and driving to meetings, as it gives me a chance to listen to Shannon and this wonderful podcast instantly lifts my spirits, reminds me that I'm on the right track, and nudges me to focus on the things that matter to me. Thank you very much, Daisy of Africa. My apologies for it taking so long to extend my gratitude for your taking the time to write a review. If you too are enjoying this show, either leave a ranking or a review, and you may help a future listener discover the show that they're looking for. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Bonne journée. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up my latest book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Discovering Your Best Self, now available on Audible and wherever audiobooks are sold, as well as in paperback and ebook versions. You can also pick up my first book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide, which is also available in paperback, ebook, and as an audiobook as well. To stay caught up on the most recent episodes of the podcast, blog post, the cooking show, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your weekend, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's free weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or cup of morning coffee. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonne journée.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.